What is up, guys? My name's Jordan. I'm with my old man Howie, and welcome to episode 25 of the Jacobs Dynasty Sports Podcast. Now, normally Howie takes over after the music hits, but today I'm taking over. Sorry, old man. I wanted to briefly discuss before we got into the fantasy football matchups for week four, the games that are going to be happening. I wanted to talk about a new Netflix show that recently came out. You may have seen it on TikTok. It's going viral. I think it's the number one most watched show of Netflix, on Netflix of all time. It's called The Squid Game, and it's a Korean. It's filmed in Korea with an English voiceover. Whether you want to watch it in English, Spanish, they have voiceovers for it. But it's originally from Korea, and it's about a guy who is bankrupt, is in need of money, and he joins the Squid Games, which is a series of six games with 456 contestants, and the last one standing wins 45.6 billion won, which is equal to $38.7 million. It's a great show. I'm not going to give too much away because I don't want to spoil it, but I highly recommend it. I finished it in 2 days. My dad came to Michigan this past weekend, and all I did was talk about it. I definitely recommend watching it. If you're a little younger, maybe watch it with someone because there's some graphic scenes, but I highly recommend watching it. But anyways, my old man taking over.
I came to Michigan and went to a Big Ten game for the first time in my life. My flight was delayed. Got there at the end of the first quarter, you know, made it through halftime, Michigan's closest game of the season. And then Jordan says to me, "Dad, I'm tired. We're leaving." And I say to him, "Why are we leaving? This is my first Big Ten game I've ever been to." And he says, "You know, well, that's what most of the students do, you know, because we tailgated beforehand and now I'm tired." And I'm like, "Listen, mofo," because I'm not going to curse, you know, because we're on the podcast and we probably have some young kids listening. In fact, our whole audience might just be young kids who hit the podcast by accident, not intending to listen. And we're staying for the game. So I basically made him stay until almost the end of the game. And that might be the only game he stays till the end during his college career because everybody's tired because they get up early. Anyway, so, yes, Jordan's been talking about the Squid Games. Definitely looking forward to watching it. I've seen articles on Complex popping up about it. It does seem like it's a great show. A lot of people are recommending to watch it, and it sounds like it's going to end up being the most popular Netflix show of all time. So one thing I want to hit on before we get to the matchups for this week, if you've been an avid listener to the show, and we have about, like, six or seven of them, you'll know that my man crush with Tom Brady started last year and has continued to this very day. And this upcoming Sunday night is probably one of the most intriguing matchups in the regular season of NFL history. Not necessarily because of the teams, but because of the history. Tom Brady going back to New England, where he won six Super Bowls. It's almost like in wrestling, it would be like a dream match. You know, Hulk Hogan and The Rock, Stone Cold and The Rock, you know, cross-generational matchups. Tom Brady's going there, going against his former coach, Bill Belichick. I've been listening to a lot. I listened to a podcast with Adam Schefter today. Great podcast, by the way. Schefter went to University of Michigan. He has Teddy Bruschi on the podcast, and he also has Brady's manager, who's been his agent since he played at Michigan. I don't want to get too much into it on our show, but I would highly recommend listening to Adam Schefter's most recent podcast. And coincidentally enough, at the end of the podcast, Adam Schefter talks about the fact that he was at Michigan this weekend. It was his son's fraternity's father weekend. And Schefter, because of his NFL commitments, actually couldn't stay for the game on Saturday. So he went out on Friday and was out there. But just, I think this matchup is intriguing on so many levels. And people also forget Gronk is on Tampa and Gronk is going back to New England. So many subplots, but none greater than the student against the teacher, the mentor against the mentee. And my guess is Sunday night's football game will be one of the highest rated games of all time. I think just for the sake of the podcast, we'll just start with that game and go a little bit backwards this week, because I think everybody would agree that, you know, Tampa's the favorite in that game. My guess is Tom Brady. I think he's going to have an opportunity, pretty much a sure thing, unless he gets injured, knock on wood, to break the all-time NFL yardage passing record. I think the over-under is on four, a combination of at least four touchdowns between passing and running for Brady. He might be the running back for the Bucs because he's going to want to do everything this week. And that will be the matchup. I think you can start, you know, Chris Godwin and Mike Evans and Gronk. He might be going to Gronk every time, honestly, people. So I don't know if you could be counting for touchdowns from those guys. Antonio Brown might be back. Not sure if there's going to be enough to spread around to him in that game. I'd probably just go with Godwin, Evans, and Gronk. The Tampa Bay backfield, I'm not even sure if there's anybody worth starting. I think Ronald Jones, he missed a block in game two. He fumbled in game one and barely got any carries this past week. I would start Tampa Bay's defense. And on the New England side of the ball, maybe Jacoby Myers in PPR. Other than that, you're probably
maybe
not
starting. Maybe Jamie and Harris, just because James White is officially ruled out for the season. So he's like the quarterback now.
Yeah, I think you got to be desperate at this point to start Damian Harris. But I think it's fair to say, you know, Belichick's going to do what he can to take out Tampa's best weapon, Brady. But my guess is that it's going to be a blowout by Tampa. And today, I think Richard Sherman actually signed with the Bucs. So, you know, this is a guy that Brady used to have a rivalry with. You know, there were some words on the field and stuff like that. But in the end of the day, respect breeds respect. So Sherman called Brady, or Brady called Sherman, asked him to come play, and Sherman's going to play for Tampa Bay. So didn't mean to go with that game in my excitement. It just seemed like a natural. So I think now we can back up, and Jordan can kick off by talking about the awful Thursday night matchup of the week and the fantasy implications.
Yeah, we'll kick it off. It's the number one overall.
Enough said. On to Sunday's game. Just kidding.
It's the number one overall pick of the 2020 draft versus the number one overall pick of the 2021 draft. Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow. Don't start either of them. I think the only guys you could really start in this game are both running backs. They both have great matchups. Actually, Cincinnati's defense has been, I think, top 10 this year, but I think you got to start James Robinson just because of his production and usage. Joe Mixon's obviously a must start. T. Higgins has been ruled out. So Jamar Chase looks like he's the wide receiver one on the Bengals now, so he's a start.
Well,
and Tyler Boyd might be.
So far, actually.
But
no, he's doing pretty well overall so far. I mean, he's, I think he has four touchdowns or something, three or four.
Yep. And Tyler Boyd, maybe a flex if you need a wide receiver. If you have like Julio or A.J. Brown and they're out this week, maybe go with Tyler Boyd, but I would shy away from him. And that's pretty much that for that game. Moving on, I love talking about the 1 o'clock Sunday games because they're absolutely horrible. You got the Titans versus the Jets. You're starting every offensive player on the Titans. Obviously, A.J. Brown and Julio are quite – I think A.J. Brown is almost definitely out this week. Julio's 50-50, but we know how his hamstrings usually hold up, and it's not too good. So I don't even know who the number one option is on that team for wide receiver. But Derrick Henry's matchup is, like, probably the best matchup any running back's going to get. So, obviously, he's a must-start. Tannehill, you could start. And, obviously, Tennessee's defense is a must-start.
It's interesting. I paid $11 in fab money to pick up Tennessee's defense just because the matchup was so good.
And they also play Houston.
Against the Jets.
They play Houston next week.
To Jordan's point or mentioning about Derrick Henry, one of the things that Jordan was complaining about this week when we were watching football in Ann Arbor is about how many touches he was playing against Derrick Henry, how many touches the guy gets. I think he has 18 more touches than any other running back in the league. So ultimately, Derrick Henry so far this season, probably the number one running back
him
in the league.
Him or Aaron Jones. Now, Aaron Jones is a close second just because
despite our friend who remains nameless argument that you can't draft Derrick Henry in front of Dalvin Cook. Now you've got Cook is injured, which is the reason I stayed away from him.
McCaffrey's injured. He's a full participant. McCaffrey's out. But anyways, I think we talked enough about the Titans Jets game more than we should.
Okay.
Just because of how awful it is. But yeah, moving on. You got the Chiefs versus the Eagles. Surprisingly, the Chiefs are 1-2 to start off the season. I wouldn't say it's the offense's fault. I think it's more of the defense's fault. Mahomes has been putting up stellar numbers. He's a must start this game. Kelce, Tyreek Hill, must start. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is not a must start. Obviously,
He had a decent game this past week, even though he has been shaky.
Yeah, against a tough Eagles defense that actually got blown up by Zeke this week, I think you got to start him, but I don't think he's as good as people expected to be, but hopefully that starts picking up. And then on the Eagles side, Jalen Hurts has been – he had a couple turnovers last game, but I think you could start him. I expect his game to be high scoring. Miles Sanders, he's been – I think he's been one of the better running backs when it comes to yards per carry. He's startable. And I think that pretty much does it. Maybe Jalen Reagor just because of the high scoring affair in Dallas Goddard, but not that many must-starts on the Eagles.
I just say the only thing I'd say is I think if you have Helaire, you got to start him. I mean, there's a dearth of running backs getting the bulk of their team's carries. I think Darrell Williams did have like his highest target share of the season this past week. But I still think you got to start Helaire. And it could just be wishful thinking on my part because I have him in so many leagues.
Yep. Moving on, we got Carolina versus Dallas. Actually, a pretty decent 1 o'clock game. Panthers 3-0. McCaffrey went down with an injury. Chuba Hubbard, I'm assuming, was the first waiver pickup for everyone this week. I think you got to start him just because of the usage. We saw Mike Davis last year, how he was used on the Panthers. He's obviously Chuba Hubbard. You got to start him just because of the targets and the carries he's going to get. DJ Moore, I think, has been a top five receiver this year. You got to start him. Robbie Anderson, not so much, but if you're desperate, you could start them. Panthers defense, I think, is ranked number two this year. They've had easy matchups, but I don't know if you could definitely start them against the Cowboys. And now looking on the Cowboys side, Dak, start him. Zeke, start him. Tony Pollard, if you have him, if you need a running back, if you had McCaffrey and you don't have Chuba Hubbard, I wouldn't be opposed to throwing Pollard in your starting lineup. Amari Cooper, start him. CeeDee Lamb, start him. And actually, I think Blake Jarwin had a decent game the other day.
I think he had two touchdowns.
Yeah, so definitely a red zone
threat. Blake Jarwin or the other?
Jarwin.
You sure it wasn't the other tight end?
I know Blake Jarwin had a touchdown. I don't know about the other one.
Who was the other tight end?
I don't know.
Let me look it up while we're talking. You know, Dak has been, I think, better than people expected coming off of the bad injury last year. And actually, Dalton Schultz,
yes,
the other tight end, he's currently Pro Fantasy Football's second highest graded tight end, only behind Travis Kelce, if you could believe it. And there's a lot of firepower on that offense. He had six catches for 80 yards and two touchdowns.
Yeah, definitely not impressive. Not a big game
in a position that's always looking for people.
Yep. Moving on, we got the sad 0-3 Giants taking on the Saints. On the Giants, Saquon, that's pretty much the only guy he could start. Daniel Jones, we hyped him up a little too much last week. He came down to earth in fantasy-wise. I heard today that the Giants ran extra during practice and Slayton and Shepard got injured. So
I saw that too.
I think if they're out...
The calls to fire Joe Judge are coming already.
Yeah, but if they're out, Galladay, I think you can start him just because I think he's the only guy, and then maybe not, don't start him, but if you have an extra spot on your bench, Kadarius Toney, just to have options at wide receiver, but obviously don't start him this week. Now the Saints, the only guy you're starting for sure is Alvin Kamara, no one else. And maybe the Saints defense if you have them. Saints defense is actually number one this year.
It's just amazing like how like some of these teams just seem to be so void of fantasy relevant players, man. It's unbelievable.
Yep.
Somebody wait until bye weeks.
Yeah, but another solid game coming up. You got the Cleveland Browns versus the Minnesota Vikings. A lot of fantasy power there. Obviously, the Browns running backs Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt both have had their fair share of points this year. They've been great. I think you should feel fine starting both of them. Odell came back last week, had a mediocre game.
I read some articles that said he looked real good. I think you got to start him if you have him. I mean,
yep. Austin Hooper also had a decent game, so if you're in need of a tight end, he's not a bad start. On the Viking side, pretty much all the offensive players besides Kirk Cousins in the tight end. Dalvin Cook, if he's healthy, if he's not, Alexander Mattison, start him up. He's an RB1. Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen, start them both. They both have been great this year. Both have gotten their fair share of touchdowns. Moving on, a preview of the Thanksgiving game me and my old man are going to watch, the Detroit Lions versus Chicago Bears.
Well, we're going to go to.
Yeah,
we're
I know. Live. Person. Yes, but.
With nobody worth watching other than, like, DeAndre Swift.
Yep. Speaking of DeAndre Swift, start him up. I think he's the RB3 so far this season. He's been doing it all for the Lions. Pretty much your best offensive player. Jamal Williams, if you can start him at flex, but if you have other options, obviously, you can go with your other options. I know we talked about Quintez Cephas. I don't think you should start him this week. Definitely hold him, though. He definitely should not be on waivers or free agents. I think you have to roster him. On the Bears side, hopefully Andy Dalton comes back to get Allen Robinson going a little bit. I know Allen Robinson owners have been disappointed with his performances so far this year. And David Montgomery got a start against a horrible Lions defense. And I think that pretty much does it for that game. Moving on, we got the Texans versus the Bills. Do you want to take the Texans versus the Bills, even though it's kind of predictable?
The Texans is basically just Brandon Cooks, who continually delivers every week despite the garbage around him. And, you know, on the Bills, fire up pretty much everybody. And you're probably going three wide receivers deep down to Emmanuel Sanders with Stephon Diggs.
Even Gabriel Davis is not a bad option.
There's only so much to go around.
I think Cole Beasley, if you have him, non-PPR, MPPR, you got to start him. He's been great so far this year.
Excuse me. And as far as the running back go on Buffalo, flip a coin, because I don't even know. Like, Singletary started off solid, have him on a couple teams, and Zach Moss was better this past week. So, again, that's why I say if you got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you got to start him, because so many of these other teams, look at the Texans' backfield. I mean, you've got a mix of just mediocre guys.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, that pretty much does it for that game. Bills defense, obviously a must start this week too. And if you're looking ahead, I know we talked about the Titans defense. The Titans play the Texans next week. And yeah, so I definitely think you should roster them if they're still available. Moving on, we got the Dolphins versus the Colts. Colts 0-3 to start the season. Might be 0-4 after this week, depending on how the Dolphins play, but I think the only guy you could really start maybe on the Colts is Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines, who has actually been pretty decent so far this season. And on the Dolphins side, the only guy I can really see someone starting is Myles Gaskin. That pretty much does it for that game. I really don't see you starting anyone else, except for, like, the kickers, obviously. But I love my kickers. So. Moving on, you got the Washington football team versus the Falcons. On the Washington side, Antonio Gibson finally showed a little bit of life this week. I know owners have been waiting for him to finally burst. He had a 75-yard reception for a touchdown, which owners were happy about. Terry McLaurin, you got to start him. He's the go-to wide receiver on that team. Gets all the targets. And Logan Thomas, you got to start just because he's one of the better tight ends. And on the Falcons side, Mike Davis and Calvin Ridley are the only two I can really see you going with. And that does it for the 1 o'clock games. You want to take the 4:05 games? You got the Seattle actually two divisional games, Seahawks versus 49ers, and 2-3-0 teams squaring off, Cardinals and the Rams. Both pretty good games.
Yeah, I'd say the Cardinals and the Rams is probably like the marquee matchup of the day. You know, just in terms of the teams, not commenting on the whole New England Tampa Bay subplot. You know, the Rams showed that they are true contenders this past weekend. They got a solid win against the Bucks.
Stafford looks like an MVP candidate.
Stafford is probably he's clearly in the best situation of his career. You know, Cooper Kupp is phenomenal this year, number one wide receiver. DeSean Jackson, I'm not sure I would go back to the well on him until you see more consistency game to game. Robert Woods has been a disappointment. But my guess is at some point Stafford's going to try to take care of him too. I think their tight end, Tyler Higbee, had a decent game this past week. And as far as their running backs go, I know Daryl Henderson was out this past week. And I think Sony Michel had a decent game, not really for PPR. So I guess keep an eye on where Henderson is in terms of his injury this week. And on the Cardinals side of the ball, obviously you're firing up Kyler. Probably Chase Edmonds and James Conner. Again, that's one of those other backfield situations where you really don't know from week to week who's going to be the guy. Hopkins, although he, you know, was a little banged up, he didn't have the best game this past week. And, you know, between Rondale Moore and Christian Kirk, it's almost like who's going to have the hot hand. So you really got to see what your other options are. So I would prefer Kirk over Moore for the time being, just till you see a little bit more consistency over Moore. But out of Moore, but pretty much expect some fireworks in that game. It should probably be pretty high scoring. The other game Jordan mentioned, I think, is Seattle. You know, you're probably versus the Niners, Tyler Lockett, Metcalf, Chris Carson, Russell Wilson. And on the Niners side of the ball, probably Kittles and Debo.
Ayuk finally had a touchdown, but I wouldn't safely start him just yet.
Yeah, and I know Sermon played in the backfield. Again, you really got to monitor things. I mean, like I said, there's so many backfield stay-away situations going on in the league. But at the end of the day, it just all depends on what your other options are.
Yep.
You know?
Moving on. Two decent games. You have the Steelers versus the Packers. I expect the Packers to win that one. You're starting up Rodgers, Aaron Jones, Devontae Adams. Maybe a flyer, Marcus Valdes-Scantling. He had a decent game, but obviously that's in deeper leagues. And on the Steelers side, I think the only guy you could really feel safe starting is Najee Harris and Deontay Johnson if he's healthy enough to play. Juju got banged up this week. Claypool hasn't been so good this week. Or this year, I mean. So, yeah, definitely Najee Harris and Deontay Johnson. That's pretty much it for that game. Moving on, another pretty good game. You got the Ravens versus the Broncos. Broncos are 3-0. They've beaten the three worst teams in the league, but they don't. I think their defense has been top three this year. Teddy Bridgewater has been impressing. The Broncos' backfield has been great between Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams, I think it is. So I think you could safely start both of them. Sutton, I would plug in, and Noah Fant, obviously, just because he's one of the better tight ends. And on the Ravens side, Lamar, backfield's kind of up in the air, but Tyson Williams is probably the go-to guy there. Marquise Brown, I think, dropped – how many passes did he drop this week? Six?
Yeah, a lot.
But I think you got to start him. Watkins actually has been decent this year. I wouldn't have a problem starting him unless you have better options. And Mark Andrews, you got to start him. And then the GOAT of kickers, Justin Tucker, who dropped 25 points in my CBS league this past week, even though I lost because the Bears had how many sacks? I mean, the Browns had how many sacks on Justin Fields? Nine.
I heard it so many times. I heard it enough.
But yeah.
Nine. Jordan lamented it the whole day, even after they had one sack.
I like woke up in the middle of this in my sleep and I screamed nine. And my dad got mad at me. My old man.
Yeah.
But yeah, Justin Tucker, the GOAT of kickers, obviously.
$5 foot long.
Yeah. We talked about the Sunday night game, all the fantasy matchups. So the last game of the week, very good game, Monday night football. The Las Vegas Raiders undefeated versus the L.A. Chargers. On the Raiders side, Derek Carr, I think you could start him. He's the leading passer this year with like 1,200 yards. He's been great. For running backs, if Josh Jacobs is out again, you're starting up Kenyon Drake. Darren Waller, obviously, top three tight end. And for wide receivers, I think the only guy you could really start is Henry Ruggs. But obviously, if you have better options, go with those options. And on the Chargers side, everyone, Herbert, Eckler, Mike Williams, who's been an absolute stud this year, Keenan Allen, who am I missing on the Chargers? I think that's and Jared Cook if you need a tight end. But that pretty much does it for those games.
Should be a great fantasy matchup that night. So many star players. And I think that pretty much does it for week four. The last week, I think, before bye weeks. Yeah. You got basketball.
Wait, week five is bye weeks?
Is it week five or week six since there's an extra week? I think it's week five, but I could be wrong. But on other sports news, MLB playoffs start next week. The Yankees on path to make it. Let me check their score real quick.
I think Judge and Stanton are both healthy and productive at the same time.
Yeah.
So if they stay that way, they could actually make a run.
They're actually losing right now, but they got a big win yesterday.
By the way, also something that I saw after last night that came out is that apparently Shohei Ohtani, after his team's loss last night, in an interview after the game, said he's getting tired of losing. So I don't know where that goes with him after this season. But, you know, no Mike Trout this year. And even with Mike Trout year after year, the Angels just have a hard time making a run in the playoffs.
Yeah. Another big story in the MLB, the Cardinals are currently on a 17-game win streak. They clinched the playoff spot last night. They're currently losing 1-0 to the Brewers, who have also been great this year. But it should be interesting to see how far they can go. Maybe they can carry that streak into the playoffs. And right now they're projected a matchup against the Dodgers in the wild card. So that game should be very, very fun and interesting to watch. And on the NBA news, training camp has finally started. Kyrie Irving being his typical self, not reporting, doesn't want to get the COVID vaccine. So apparently he's talking about requesting a trade if this continues, but who knows with him. The Lakers, the old boys are back together. LeBron, Westbrook, Anthony Davis, Melo, Dwight Howard, and Rondo. They're hungry for a championship, and obviously the defending champs, the Milwaukee Bucks, have gotten even more powerful, adding players like Grayson Allen, re-signing their studs. So it definitely should be a very fun and interesting season to watch. And that pretty much does it. Any final words for the viewers?
What's the name of that show on Netflix again?
Squid Game.
Squid Game?
The Squid Game.
Watch the Squid Game.
Yes.
Watch the Buccaneers and the Patriots and whatever other games interest you.
And don't watch the Browns defense. I hate them.
And be the ball. No, 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 no.
Okay. Early tonight. Sorry for the cringe.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to the show. And tell everybody else to listen as well.
Feel free to send us your crazy fantasy. I know Austin Eckler does a contest, sending him like fantasy wins that they've gotten with him. Send us your craziest matchup if you had one this past week. I know Howie didn't talk about it, my old man. He lost by, I think, 0.5 this week. But I don't think he did not bring it up for a reason. So if you have any crazy matchups, whether you won or lost, please send them to us, and we'll definitely discuss it on the show. But thanks, guys, for listening. We'll see you guys back next week for week five. Maybe my old man will have finished the Squid Game by then. Probably not. But thanks, guys, for listening. We'll see you guys next time.